listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Art says, Cully was a good coach for this team. One of the worst cheeses of all time. You know you're lying. Stop it. Ain't no pizza worth that, John.
Yeah.
I've not gotten a pizza in a long time. By the way, somebody tweeted, but they showed Jake Asman's football from the Texans and said, oh, you guys, yours is in the mail, or you guys didn't get, we got ours. We got our footballs from the team.
Yeah. We just didn't choose to post them.
Yeah. But we appreciate you texting.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. I hope you get good fast. It's more fun when our team is good and relevant.
So here's why David Culley was a good coach for this football team. Ever go to the shelter and find rescue dogs?
Mm-hmm. I've done it.
What's happened? What's the matter with a rescue dog?
A lot of times there's some trauma in their lives at some point.
They're beaten. They've been whooped.
Yeah.
They've been...
Something's a little...
They feel bad about themselves. They need a positive home where they can get love.
Is that... Well, that's the Texans.
That was the Texans under Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, the entire organization.
They needed
definitely
a rescue coach.
Building.
They needed a rescue coach. And you know what they got? They got a rescue coach. Okay?
David Culley is a rescue coach.
He is.
Well, wait a minute. No, but those dogs have been.
Yeah, the
so
dogs.
So we were the rescue dog. David Culley came and got us out of the kennel?
No, he got the players. Out of the kennel.
Saying David,
they
is
were a rescue team.
Saying he's a rescue coach. Well, sometimes you say, you know what? Let's do the right thing. Let's go get a rescue coach.
Right.
And you get him, and it's like, there's a reason he was in here.
Well, yeah.
You know what?
He's nice to them.
But you're immediately looking for a new home after the first few months.
Yeah. Right. I mean, well, but see,
like maybe somebody else. Is there a farm that wants this dog?
Wouldn't that be great to have wouldn't it be great to have all these guys out on a farm somewhere and feeling better about them? No, I'm serious. If you get it, said it 1,000 times, when a defensive coach fails, what do? You go look for an offensive coach. When an a-hole fails, what do you look for? You look for a nice guy. You know what the Texans got? They got themselves a nice guy. A guy who would have some positivity. A guy who would try to uplift. A guy who would be able to, and listen, he had no problem. He had absolutely no problem cutting Cunningham and Roby and cutting the cancers out of that locker because he wants a positive atmosphere in there. And that's what they needed. They needed a better culture. They needed to get rid of all of the cancerous players in the locker room. And that's what they've done. Now, they may have taken a bunch of talent away from the team, and that's just fine because they weren't winning anything anyway. But Coach Culley, he's not an NFL head coach. Holy crap, the decisions that he made and not knowing stuff that was obvious to people who've never coached in any league at any time. It was ridiculous. It's ridiculous his lack of being able to make decisions on the fly. It's ridiculous. And he's not a good coach. But he was really good for this football team. And I think one more year of Coach Culley until just as a placeholder for this organization.
You know what he is? He's not a rescue coach, even though I love that phrase. He's the bounce back after a bad marriage. He's the bounce back.
Right.
Girl that you're not going to get married to, but she was good for you because you were just kind of damaged after the whole bad marriage.
Or the guy, she leaves a relationship that was abusive, and she goes and finds the nicest guy.
Yeah.
And he's a nice, but boring, holy crap.
He's a rebound. He's a rebound coach. That's all David Culley's just a rebound coach.
He's a rebound coach. But you know what?
And you needed it.
I think this organization still has wounds to lick.
Oh yeah, but do you think that David Culley screamed at anyone in the building like Bill O'Brien did and made them feel lower than boot dirt?
You're still listen. This relationship isn't any good, and we're not having any fun. But you know what? I needed a nice rebound guy. Coach.
Yeah, you know what? I know that he's not the marrying type, but I needed a rebound coach. Just somebody to feel better about myself. Maybe somebody who treated me right and was nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't a good decision maker. Yeah, he let the general manager and Romeo Crennel, you know, he just listened in while they schemed about stuff during timeouts and whatnot. Yeah, David Culley's not functional from a play, from a game management standpoint, but he's nice to us. He treats us nice. And you know what? He's not our old abusive head coach. He is the rebound mm-hmm. coach, and that's fine. But when will that relationship end? Because he is a rebound coach. Oh, and yeah. There's a chance. The Texans say they're going to evaluate after. Like, if they're going to keep David Culley, then if you don't hear anything by Thursday, David Culley, actually, I think you'll hear them make a proclamation by Wednesday. David Culley's our guy another year, or we're moving on from him.
I don't think they say another year. Coach Culley's our coach. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I think there's a proclamation by no later than Wednesday. They're not going to leave it out there hanging. They're going to come out with a definitive statement. Either he's gone or he's staying.
Right.
I think he will get that.
And I'm telling you, I think he's staying. The people that are clamoring, they listen, Culley is the second guy your mom hooks up with after the divorce. Yeah, she's maybe the rebound, maybe the first guy your mom hooks up with after the divorce. That's what they did. We wanted the opposite of Bill O'Brien and got it. We wanted somebody that would never question anything the GM said, and David Culley doesn't. We want somebody who will let the GM and the advisor on the headset telling him what to do during the game.
He's a good soldier.
He's a great soldier. We'd like to keep him in check because he says stuff out loud that he shouldn't. Okay. And then he makes decisions that are, but that's what you got to put up with.
Well, that's rebound.
That's right. You got to put up with some of the stuff. You know what? He's boring, but and he's not a great decision maker. But you know what? Damn it, we still got a lot of wounds to heal. You know what the wounds to heal are? No good football players, because Bill O'Brien got rid of. Bill O'Brien was a horrible judgment of talent, and how to put together a team, salary cap wise, awful. We still got a lot of wounds. There's still a lot of open wounds on this team. We call them openings where we need good football players. And so we still need a nice guy to smooth this over, and we got him. We got him in place.
Here's Herbert or Hebert Linares just tweeted, he's really good with the different he's really good with different. Generally speaking, I just wanted to shout him out for his Photoshops, but this is one where it's just got the dog and the fire, and it's, yeah. He just drink put David Culley across and just said, this is fine.
This is fine.
Yeah, it's fine for now. It's fine for now.
It is fine for now.
I don't care that much.
No.
That's why it's fine for now.
Next year is another year.
These games could have been simulated. You know what I am right now? I am in EA Sports franchise mode where I don't care about the games. You can simulate the games. I just can't wait to get to the next year for the draft and free agency. And these are sim games to me. Sim them out. I don't even care about seeing them. Simulate and on to the next one. And frankly, you could sim next year's games also and let me get to the 2023 free agency and draft period. And then we got something. Now I'm interested in seeing the games. But to me, this could have been – this year and next year could be full-on simulated games on a computer, and I'm just waiting to get to franchise mode where I can get to the offseason. That's all I care about with Texans. And I'll bet you I'm not alone. As a matter of fact, I bet most people would agree with me. If they were in franchise mode and just simming games, that's great. Just move on to my free agency and financial considerations and draft considerations and trading. That's all that people care about for the Texans right now. Much more so than the actual games.
Del Wade, Will wants to weigh in on the Texans and on Coach Culley. If you've got any thoughts on Coach Culley, Davis Mills, we've had all kinds of Texans discussion. The third overall pick, all of these things.
Okay, what did you say about David Culley?
He's a rescue coach.
No, but what is the other thing that you said? He was what?
He was a good fit for this team.
Okay, and then you also just called somebody the David Culley of Twitter. That doesn't sound like a compliment.
Poor decision maker. Poor decision maker.
One sounds positive, and one sounds like
You can't spin
like you're ragging on somebody.
You can't spin his in-game decisions. They were worse than Bill O'Brien. They're the worst I think I've ever seen at the NFL level. His in-game decisions are quite possibly the worst I've ever seen out of a head coach. I mean, just basic moves that he doesn't know. That, okay, I'll give you that. I'm giving you that. And I still think he was a good hire for this football team. All right. Is Craig DeCerf a good hire for Chevy GMC?
Well, yeah, he was a great hire. I mean, their business has been booming. And what's crazy is that so many of you have gone out and done more car buying than ever before during the pandemic. I mean, over the last 2 years, business has been booming. And while they don't have the same selection they once had, what they're doing now is actually ordering and selling vehicles as they come in. And that's something you can still do, even if you don't see the pictures on the, because one of the things they prided themselves in is having pictures of every vehicle they had there. But because of, you know, supply chain issues, they have to wait a little longer for some of the vehicles to come in. But they're still selling at crazy rates. And one of the big advantages is that the pre-owned car business has gone bonkers. And so if you have a pre-owned vehicle that maybe has been taken really good care of and maybe you don't have outrageous miles on them, they're offering top dollars. And you can put that towards the purchase of a new Chevy Silverado, a GMC Sierra pickup truck, a Buick Enclave. Find the vehicles you love at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They're out in Angleton. They do business the right way. They're so easy to deal with. And, yes, they're giving you tremendous trade-in value and all the dealer specials and dealer options they can find for you. Go to LanceZCars.com to start the car buying experience right now. LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. 917, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got any thoughts about what we've been talking about with your Texans? You're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number. Will wants to talk about his Texans. Let's get him in here. Hey, Will.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Big fan of the show, long-time listener. So, just kind of want to piggyback about the Texans, some observations, right? Kind of season ends. It's an opportunity to evaluate. We all knew this season was a lost cause, right? I think we can all agree there. Now, one thing to keep in mind is, you know, Deshaun Watson put up some great numbers last year. I think he made the Pro Bowl, right, if I remember correctly. And we finished 4-12. Now, fast forward a year, Davis Mills, and we went 4-13 with the additional game, right? So, I mean, has the team been that much worse than what we had last year? Now, sure, last year had a little bit of better talent, you know, when it comes to the receivers and the running back, et cetera. But I think Davis Mills has earned the opportunity to go out there and be the starter heading into camp for 2022. And Nick Caserio, I think his clock starts now based on evaluating him as a grade for GM, especially since that report came out that we're looking to trade Deshaun Watson before March 16th to start a free agency. So I don't think the Texans should draft a quarterback with a high draft pick. So say within the first 3 to 4 rounds of this upcoming draft, if they see a prospect that falls into the later rounds, I'm okay with that. So call it day 3 of the draft. But wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that. You know, I think Vegas had us set at 4.5 wins, and we won 4, so it's about what everyone expected. I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, I think I think it's a good point. I mean, the clock starts now. Last year, with no first and no second rounder
Nick Caserio. Hold on a second. I think the clock started then. He did a hell of a job with 2 third rounders in Mills and Nico. He got production out of Lopez, which was a low pick. Wallow is a special teams guy, and Brevin Jordan was a pretty good pick too. I mean, you got to give.
Let's
him some
see what
credit.
Happens in 3 years.
I mean, he's
going to
say, wait a minute.
I have.
Hey, we got to give.
But true team building, like with blue chip guys, maybe Nico will become that. Maybe Mills will become it. We got to see with Mills now. Let's not. I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
I get it. Rich Eisen just tweeted out, it's not even arguable. The second best performance by a rookie quarterback was Davis Mills. It's not even arguable. And you know what? You got to give it up. All of those picks before him, those guys, he outplayed them.
But
he outplayed them.
It also is kind of like a, we can't say it anymore, but the tallest M word.
Not really.
In a way, Justin Fields. No, that's what I'm saying. They all were terrible.
No, I know that. But guess what? They were all big name high draft picks.
But don't tell me how somebody's at the top of the list of guys who played poorly. Davis Mills didn't play poorly, but he was wildly inconsistent. He was inconsistent.
Absolutely. However, early
let's
on,
not start bleeping each other's bleeps. As a staff sergeant once said,
right.
in a movie, we got a long ways to go.
Early on, a rookie quarterback with 11 college starts. Listen, he does have to play better next year. There's no question about it. 16-10 was pretty damn good. And, you know, 301 yards yesterday in a game against a good defensive football team that had to win, that was playing hard. There's a lot to be excited about with young Davis Mills. Is he the future? Is he the answer? I don't know. But all I know is he made it much easier for this organization to improve because they don't have to use that first pick on a quarterback. By the way, they can actually trade down and get more picks is something that they need. I think you're dead on. Even if they went down to from 3 to 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever to get out of there and get more picks, I'm all for it. Because I don't think, is Evan Neal to you a must-have?
He's good. I mean, he'd be much better. Look, he's got a chance to be a really good tackle on the NFL level. He really does. I would take him. That's fine. Like, to me, you can't go wrong with sitting tight or trading back.
How about
inside the top 7?
How about trade Tunsil?
Yeah.
And get, what are you getting for Tunsil?
I mean, even if I got a second and a fifth, that's cool.
That's cool.
He's off our books. And you can't tell me that a team would not like to have a good left tackle, a strong left tackle. Once again, the Bengals. Hey, listen, Cincinnati, we'll take your second this year, which is going to be later, and a second next year for Laremy Tunsil.
2 seconds? That's a Matt Schaub trade.
It's a done. It's done. I would take that. Maybe a second next year, a second this year, and a third next year. What I'm telling you is, if you know now that trade, that trade could happen on. That trade could easily happen on draft day. You could hear something, and we have a trade between the Cincinnati Bengals' second round pick is now going to the Houston Texans as the Texans deal Laremy Tunsil. Guys, this is big news. Laremy Tunsil, who had fought off injury and drip issues last year, Laremy Tunsil is going to the Houston Texans for a second round pick and a third rounder next year. And gentlemen, let's talk about this for a second. Laremy Tunsil now protecting Joe Burrow. This is a major upgrade for the Cincinnati Bengals along that offensive line. Well, you know, it really is, and this is something the Bengals really need of all the areas of concern. They didn't get that first round tackle, but now to pick up Laremy Tunsil, man, this is, I know it's a lot of money, but this is a guy that has terrific ability. At left tackle, it's a huge upgrade, and it's really going to help the Bengals. That's what it might sound like on day 2 of the draft this year. Draft day trade, Laremy Tunsil, the player, for picks. I could totally see that after the Texans have taken Evan Neal in the first round at pick number 3. That's an example of how it could sound. We got Evan Neal now. Huh, guys, what do we do with Laremy? Can we move him? Let's get on the phone. Spend a whole day calling
them well before that. And
I would.
Yeah.
I would. Like, hey, we're looking at Evan Neal with the 3rd pick.
Well, we're looking at Tunsil. You need to be looking at him, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, you guys are picking in the 20s. We don't know if the tackles that you like, you know, on your board you feel like are worth it. We've got Tunsil. He's going to be better than any of your options in the 20s.
And he doesn't have an agent. You can get over on him.
Listen.
Like the tech, like we did.
Yeah, like we did. I mean, Bill O'Brien talks circles around him. He didn't have no trade, but guy gave him substantially more than the market even is paying for the position.
25% more, no, 20% more than the market.
Hey, listen.
Paid.
He fired his agent. This is what a bad decision maker he is. He fired his agent and got $4 million more than $4 million more higher than the highest paid tackle against Bill O'Brien, even without an agent. So maybe that tells you how smart he is, actually, and how good he's going to be at picking up twists and recognizing defensive fronts.
Hey, the biggest news this morning is Brian Flores being fired by the Miami Dolphins. And there is Darren Revell says this: Stephen Ross is Michigan's biggest booster. He's also the owner of the now coachless Miami Dolphins. Would Ross be hurting the school would Ross be hurting the school he loves if he hired him away to the Dolphins?
ESPN said the Dolphins already came out and said we are not targeting Harbaugh.
Yes, Jeff Darlington says, while I realize many are assuming Flores' departure is tied to Harbaugh's potential availability, I can assure you that is not the case. Dolphins are not targeting Jim Harbaugh. Per sources, the decision to fire Flores is entirely independent. The decision to fire Flores can be summed up with one word: relationships. His relationship with Greer and Tua had deteriorated to a pretty bad place. Along with constant staff changes, owner Stephen Ross no longer saw Flores as a healthy fit in Miami.
Healthy fit in Miami. Wow. Man, this has everything to do with personality.
That's it.
Everything.
And I cannot see – I think, honestly, I would be shocked if Nick Caserio would bring in a guy who's going to headbutt him. He's got the exact opposite in Cully. The exact opposite. I cannot see him bringing in Brian Flores. No way. 926 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Still a lot of NFL stuff that we have not gotten to that we will on the other side, including, well, we haven't really broken down the playoffs. All we did was tell you what they were. So let's talk a little playoffs on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. When you need projects done at your house, new flooring, new laundry room, new outdoor patio, new outdoor kitchen, when you need stuff done, you want to change the walls, you want to change the cabinets, you want to change the kitchen, you know, redo your entire kitchen, your countertops, this is a big job. And this job is what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. So you're looking for that kind of workmanship. You're looking for a guy who can actually help you design these things. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He's done it at the biggest level, the highest level. He is the guy that is you need to call and get that 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell Jeff Aronoff you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who was winless this year? Do you know the answer to that? In the NFL, who was winless?
I don't know, but I just have Odell.
Oh, we're on.
Yeah, we're on the air.
I was going to say Odell Beckham Jr. is where you go for your hopes and dreams
Odell
to
actually
die.
He actually played pretty well.
Until they were forcing everything to him in the last minutes.
Forcing everything to him. Cooper
Matt Stafford
Cup
didn't get
million,
over.
Had a bazillion.
Then why not go to him in the last drive when you need to hit 277.5 total yards passing for Stafford? It doesn't make sense. That's just a random
Who
thing.
Who was winless this year?
Who was winless? I don't know. Who was
whoever was on the Manning cast. Kelce, week one, lost in week two. Russ, week one, lost in week two. Gronk, week two, lost in week three. Stafford, week three, lost in four. Brady, week seven, lost in eight. Josh Allen, week eight, lost in nine. Rodgers, in week 17, lost in 18. Every single guy that was on the Manning cast lost.
But there was one before. There was one before Rodgers. They had one 2 weeks ago. Who was it 2 weeks ago?
No, nobody's won all year.
Really?
Yeah. The Manning cast. It's the curse.
Nick Saban won.
Which is worse, the Manning cast or the Madden curse?
Nick Saban and LeBron won after they were on.
Yeah. No, they did. Did LeBron win right after?
I don't know. I'm just saying that out loud. I don't know if that's true. You're not going to check up on it.
Yeah, he didn't.
You're not going to check up on it, so I'm fine.
Unless he was on the week before Texas A&M, yes. Was he on the week before?
No way. Wait a minute.
That was early on. When was Nick Saban on the Manning
cast? There's no way, because that would have been mentioned. Nick Saban was on the Manning cast.
Week
September,
three?
September 28th. When did the Aggies beat?
October what? September 28th he was on? October 5th?
October 9th.
Oh.
Was there a bye week?
Was there a bye? That's why Nick was on, because there was a bye.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me check this.
Oh, my gosh. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that he lost. Oh, they played Mississippi. Ole Miss, okay. They played Ole Miss.
Yeah, they had Ole Miss at home on the second.
That would have been perfect.
Was Carson Wentz?
Saban, I don't know if you
heard.
Was
Carson Wentz on the Manning cast last week?
Yeah, speaking of Carson Wentz, did you see what Ryan Clark said?
About Carson?
Carson Wentz.
It's probably not great.
Okay, so Ryan Clark on ESPN last week said this. He'd stop working if the Colts lost. He said this, no concern at all. I've been skeptical of Carson Wentz in many situations. This is not one of them. The Jaguars are absolutely awful. If the Colts lose to them, I'm going to stop working. I will not come in on Monday. Do you know who just walked in on Monday on ESPN?
Who?
Ryan Clark.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine that.
No, he should have taken the day off. He said, I won't come in on Monday.
Remember that one girl who said she would get a tattoo?
Yeah, right.
What was it if something happened in fantasy football?
The Astros had something to do with the Astros.
Oh, it was the Astros. If he gives up a grand slam here, I'll...
Yes.
Or if he gets a grand slam here, I'll get a tattoo.
Was it a Jordan bomb?
I think that was one of them, at least. Jordan was up to bat, and she was like, oh, if he hits this, if he knocks this out of the park,
right.
I'll get a tattoo.
I'll get a tattoo.
Literally, first pitch, gone.
B.I. didn't do it. So we had that. Ryan Clark just showed up at ESPN. He's wearing a tuxedo. I mean, maybe, okay.
Well, he's wearing a bow tie. It's not a tuxedo.
Oh, wasn't it?
It's just a suit with a bow tie that is like enormous.
Tom Brady made sure that Gronk got a $500,000. Now that's a good teammate. Brady stayed in the game to get Gronk a $500,000 reception bonus. That was nice. Mike Florio says the Raiders are the favorite to land Jim Harbaugh, not the Bears.
Oh, huh. Harbaugh, and obviously...
Well, he was in the Bay Area, so maybe that's why...
Yeah,
Why Davis likes him
Could be. The talk was the Bears. I mean, the Bears do have a quarterback who... Look, the Raiders have a quarterback who you know what you got. The Bears have a quarterback that you're not sure what you have yet, but he did play against Harbaugh at Ohio State, Justin Fields, so you kind of know a little something about him. He put it on you. The Bears, Harbaugh has a background there with the Bears. I don't know.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's not staying at Michigan. I feel pretty strongly that Harbaugh's going to be gone.
It's
one of these jobs.
You know what? He took a pay cut last offseason.
And some of them aren't that bad. Like some of the jobs, the Raider job's not that bad. The Dolphin job's not that bad. The Bears job, the Bears media is awfully hard in Chicago. It's not the easiest place to win. But you also want to, you know, do better.
Yep. Let's get Homer in here. He wants to talk about, it's amazing to me. Bill O'Brien is.
Hello.
Yeah, Homer. Bill O'Brien is being talked about for so many jobs right now. It's amazing to me after what he did here. But what'd you want to talk about?
Well, yeah. So, say, nightmare scenario. Bama wins big, you know, offense goes great. Bill O'Brien gets interviewed in Miami, gets hired in Miami. Is Deshaun even going to want to go to Miami? So what do we do with Deshaun then?
You know, he didn't have a bad relationship with Bill O'Brien.
Who, Deshaun?
Deshaun.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to.
I don't know if he wants to go through that again.
You want to run it back with Bill O'Brien? I don't know if I want next up on that court where I want to run it back with Bill O'Brien. No thanks. And plus, if they just had an issue with Brian Flores, they for sure aren't going to want to roll with Bill O'Brien. For what?
Well, right.
Why am I going to roll with Bill O'Brien, the power,
biggest headbutter and power?
Yeah, I mean, the Mad King.
Yeah.
Why would I want to do a power-hungry Mad King? Why would I want to do that? I have no interest in that. I'm not saying you have
to. Now, let's say they did.
Hey, Josh McDaniels, would you rather go with Chris Greer to Miami or to Houston with Nick Caserio if Josh McDaniels was going to go? Chris Greer has time spent in, I'm pretty sure he was a New England guy, too. Whose situation's better right now?
I just think that if Josh McDaniels and the working relationship that he had with Nick Caserio, I just don't see how it's anybody else. If you want to,
Chris Greer was a regional scout for the was an intern, a regional scout for the Patriots. That's how he got.
Well, he knows Bill O'Brien. He ain't hiring Bill O'Brien.
So he got started in '94. Was an intern. He was a regional scout from '95 to '99, and you know, he was with Miami the rest of that time. So he's been with Miami for a long, long time. He is from, went to school, and he was born in Massachusetts, went to school in Massachusetts, started with the Patriots. So it's,
well, he might be an O'Brien guy. He's an asshole.
But listen, he left the Patriots in 99. That's before Nick Caserio. Well, I don't know. I don't even know if Nick Caserio was there. So what I'm saying is, maybe I should back off the whole Patriot thing, because he wasn't with the Patriots for, you know, the last 22 years. He wasn't with the Patriots. So maybe the Josh McDaniel thing is irrelevant.
Yeah. The Browns are going to bring back Baker Mayfield as their number one guy.
Cool.
Now, I think you handle this like a Dak kind of thing, right? You can't extend him. You don't extend him.
No.
You let him play out this deal.
You let him play out, and then you draft somebody. There's nothing I've seen from Baker that makes me pay him. That makes me pay Baker $30 million. Yeah, well, if he does well, nothing he could do now would make me want to give him a second contract. But you're right. You let him play out year five, franchise, get 7 years out of him.
Or if he plays really, really well, you franchise him and then come to terms on a long deal.
Well, you Kirk Cousins him.
Yeah.
The Minnesota.
Well, if you want him gone.
Yeah.
Now, if he plays
really
well.
You don't want Baker Mayfield with a long-term deal? Come on. That guy, no way. You don't have the makeup to be a championship quarterback.
You think he's a Cousins-like quarterback in the league?
Yeah, you let him play. Well, he hasn't proven himself to even be Cousins with the... I mean, Cousins with the... wait, where did Cousins play before the Vikings?
The Redskins.
Yeah, Wash.
That's what they were then. They were the Redskins then. No.
Call them the R words.
No, they were the Redskins then. So I'm absolutely correct.
You keep saying the R word.
What?
Just say he was with the football.
He was with
team.
The Washington, the team in Washington.
So he was Washington Redskins.
He was.
Yeah. He was Washington Redskins, and then he was solid for 4 years, and they said, man, I don't know if we want to give him a long-term deal. Let's franchise him. Year five. We still don't know that he's a guy that we want to buy into long-term. Let's franchise him. Wasn't that where he said, you like that? You like that? That was in Washington.
Yeah.
So 6 years of Kirk Cousins, they said, you know what? Y'all can have the big contract.
Of course, he was that a fourth was the right rounder. It's a little easier.
Third, I think.
What? Fourth. One and four.
Fourth, okay. So you got 6 years out of him. He did his job. That's fine. Baker's the same way to me. The only difference is you get him for a total of potentially 7 years. So I'd rather see the fifth year and pay him too much for 1 year in a franchise year as a feeler year. And if he's really, really good and you're up there playing for an AFC championship game, you got no choice but to give him the Joe Flacco deal. You know, the Ravens got screwed by Flacco because one misjudged play by a safety for the Denver Broncos, who actually ended up coming to the Texans. One misjudged play ended up turning into a long touchdown and a playoff win, and Flacco goes and wins the Super Bowl, and now there's nothing you could do about it. You had to give him a long-term deal, even though you knew he was not that kind of long-term, high-dollar quarterback. That could happen to the Browns, too. I would never want Baker on a second deal being paid at, you know, $34 million a year.
No.
Just kind of eyeballing what the market looks like. What if he could he ask for 36? Because the market's going to keep going up. Could Baker Mayfield by then, would he say, I'm a $38 million quarterback? Can you imagine that? The salary cap's going to go up too. Baker at $40 million a year? You want some of that?
No, you ain't doing all, you ain't doing all that. And he ain't going to get that on the open market, that's for sure.
Yeah, apparently Chris Greer is a Parcells Patriot guy, not a Belichick guy. Plus, remember, his dad is Bobby Greer. Not much love lost for the Patriots organization. Bobby was here with the Texans, personnel guy who was out with Bill Belichick. So, yeah, that makes some sense.
All right. When we come back, news of the weird. Some really weird stuff going on, including a female minor league manager. Weird. But that's what's going on. Right now, though, what's going on is Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's the Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You know what? They're at your disposal. And it's kind of funny, you know, they're at your disposal. But they really are at your disposal from everywhere. Wherever you can hear us on 92.5 and 97.5, they'll go there. They'll go all the way to Beaumont. And listen, ask them to come. You got any kind of plumbing issue whatsoever, I want somebody that's going to come and give me a fair, free estimate with honest pricing, no extra add-ons. Here's another one. I talk about this all the time where, oh, no, you got to get this done. You got to get that. No, you don't. If you don't need that stuff, they're not going to add that on to your bill. You got people that we really like in Billy and Mary,
yeah,
who are, you know, brother and sister, and they're just really, really nice and honest people.
You can have leaks going on underneath your slab that cause major damage, or even behind the shower head, you know, behind the shower, the actual, encasement. That could be an issue. And I had a company one time want to come out, and what they asked to do was enormous in terms of the scope of it and the price. Well, that's when you need someone like Aqueduct Plumbing on your side to tell you, no, what needs to happen is this, and this is going to be a little bit of a job, but you don't have to replace and repair everything else. And fair and a free estimate, what you said before, that's the big key.
281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or thebenchplumbing.com. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They're at your disposal.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We have our first female manager in pro baseball. The Yankees have named Rachel Balcovec as manager of their lower A affiliate. She is going to be the manager of the Tampa Tarpons. Do you see this as problematic in any way?
That's not how you pronounce it. You know that.
Tarpons?
Tarpons.
Well, I pronounce
it Tarpons. He doesn't know that. He's not a fish guy.
Oh, yeah, you're not a fisher.
No, I'm not a fisherman.
He lives in Chicago. He's not a fisherman.
I'm not a fisherman. I don't
You were
fish.
In Scottsdale. Now, Louisiana, you could have done some fishing.
Up in Green Bay. Yeah. They sturgeon fish up there. Yeah, hey there.
But you were going out on the ice to...
The last thing that I would do is no. That. Okay?
No, I don't see
so
anything...
So she is the manager of the Tampa Tarpons.
No, I don't see any problems with it at all, John.
I don't know. I see this problematic. That's all I'm saying. It's just weird. So apparently there are supply shortages in Norway. Norwegian conscripts must return their used underwear at the end of their military service. Do you want used Norwegian underwear?
Are we recycling the underwear, boys?
Underwear.
Is this what we're doing?
And this is guys who are in the military, so they're probably... I don't know. Their underwear gets dirty.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that something that you would like to
that's
have?
That's not
news. Used Norwegian
underwear.
That's not
underwear. News of the weirds. That's news of the disgusting.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who is obsessed with celebrities?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
A new study finds that people who are obsessed with celebrities to be less intelligent.
Fits.
Who is it? Who
it's on
who
brand.
Is this
not
going to
say. Definitely not going to say. But it's on brand.
You think that that person? Do you think that that person?
I know a person who is well, We both know somebody. We just got $1,000.
For
what? Obsessed with celebrities.
Obsessed with celebrities. I kind of feel like that person. Not as smart. A 106-year-old Philadelphia woman credits longevity to faith.
Yep.
And Big Macs. Did you think that Big Macs would be part of a 106-year-old's regular diet?
No, I never anticipated that. That's like the smokers who make it a long time, and or the Coors Light drinkers. We've seen that like two different times. I was waiting for you to say Coors Light. I was waiting for you to say that on that story too.
No,
since we've already seen two stories.
Oh, we have seen that though. Yeah. We've seen that. Yeah, the Coors Light guy. He's lived to any credits for drinking Coors Light to live in all that long life. I didn't see Big Macs coming. If you want to know the truth. A Missouri man claims that drugs in his pocket aren't his because he was wearing someone else's pants. Do you believe that maybe the 37-year-old will get off on these drug charges?
No.
No?
I feel like it wasn't me, these aren't my pants is a tough sell. You're still responsible for what's in the pockets.
What if you can prove they're not your pants?
No, you're still responsible for what's in your pockets.
Well, what if I just put them on right before you got there? And I didn't
and
even
you hadn't
know.
Had a chance to put... You were putting on the pants as police came and said, show me those pockets! Huh? I'm just putting the pants on. I don't know what's in them.
Right.
If there's video footage of police immediately apprehending him while the pants are being put on, maybe he's got a chance. Maybe.
Well, apparently, speaking of just putting your pants on, a Pennsylvania man is facing indecent exposure charges after police say he walked into a car dealership completely naked. He wanted to test drive a car. He says he wanted to test drive the car and do it naked to feel how the seats felt on his naked butt. Do you think that this is how people should test drive cars from now on?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not speaking for Craig DeSurf in this particular instance. But yeah, I think if you want to feel how it feels like, what's it going to feel like against my skin? Hey, we here in Houston, you know, you have shorts on during the summer. Mm-hmm. And by, when I say summer, I mean, you know, December and January.
Right.
We're in the 80s and it's humid. You have to have your air conditioner on on December 31st. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you don't have the same stick factor to the seats. I think that's fair.
Yeah. No. I think I don't want
to That's not news of the weird. That's news of the practical.
Yeah, but then what if you got white seats? Now all of a sudden they're brown. You know, I don't know that I'm pretty sure. Have you seen the new viral people peeling raw eggs? Has become a viral trend right now.
Peeling raw eggs?
Raw eggs.
What does that mean? How do you do that?
You just peel off the. I don't know how you can do it. But apparently you can peel raw eggs.
So there's a membrane that forms on the inside of an eggshell.
Right.
That holds. So if you crack it lightly and you start to peel gently. Like, you know when you hard-boil
the membrane hold, though?
And you go to peel them, some of it sticks to the shell.
That's yeah.
That membrane that's holding on. So if you do it slowly and gently.
Well, see, now you're going to make me look at this.
Now I got to go home and do that. I got to see if I can peel a raw egg.
You crack it. You get the egg white. You mix it in a cocktail. Boom.
That's it.
There you go.
What color eyes are the most attractive, Lance?
Easy. My wife's.
What color are those? Oh, he just did a leg dab.
Just a leg dab for my seat, though. Oh, in my seat.
In your seat. Don't do it.
So I would say green.
Apparently, blue eyes for men on men are the most attractive.
Green for women.
And hazel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hazel green. Have you ever seen that prisoner? Did you ever see that one prisoner, the black
guy
with the beautiful
eyes?
Hazel eyes. Huh? There was a prisoner. They were calling him like, Convict Bay or something like that. He became a freaking model.
Yeah, yeah. He was a yes.
You've seen that
women
guy,
were
right?
Going crazy.
Yeah, and have you seen his?
My
eyes?
Wife still got it for Kevin Costner. We're watching Yellowstone, and she's like, "Yeah,
prisoner turned model. Here he is. Look at this guy." I mean, he's like got blue eyes.
Yeah.
Now, he's also got some.
He's also got
the face tattoo.
Right.
He's a model now.
He's got a teardrop, right?
Yeah, no big deal.
What does
he's
that
now,
mean?
He just, yeah, means look he, at him. He now kills he's just people. Living his best life as a model.
Well, as well he should. I mean, his his picture went viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they called
him. His mugshot went viral.
Prison Bay.
Jeremy Meeks.
His nickname was Prison Bay.
Prison Bay? Yeah. Prison Bay. All right. And finally, an Oregon man. I don't know. I don't know if I can. But an Oregon man illegally invests stolen pandemic relief funds into Tesla stock, and he made $16 million. Should he? He stole $3.5 million in federal pandemic money. Do you think that he can now buy his way out?
You know what he was basically doing? Like, this is going to make so much money. I wish I had the money for this.
And now?
You know what? I'm going to find a way. And you know what? If I get caught, this stock's going to spike. Listen, should we let him out if his restitution is $10 million?
Well, they didn't. They gave him 4 years in prison.
Why not just let him give $10 million back? Like, I did you a favor. I invested for you.
Because I don't know that's a big deterrent for everybody else out
there. Yeah, no.
I'm not sure.
If you steal, you better make us money.
Not sure that's the way.
Yeah, you know what? With drug dealers and cartels, would the cartels be okay if you stole $3 million but you brought them back $10
million? Yeah.
They would say they're okay with it. They would take it, and then you would get whacked.
Charlie Polillo is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance and I are done. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.